we're experiencing climate change like everybody else. We're experiencing less water, and pest control is very expensive. If we can hone in on a better time to irrigate, not irrigate, and to put and to manage our pest control, hopefully things will be cheaper, and especially harvest date, because we don't have that many processors in California, and we don't have quite the capacity we need in mechanical harvesting. We need to be able to predict when things will happen. Okay, this second short presentation is a side project about whether or not field dust damages the stigmatic structure and crop production of pistachios in California. As you've heard in these and other presentations, basically pistachios are dioecious. They are, that fancy word, anemophily, means wind pollinated. They are apetalous and have no nectaries. They do not attract bees, which is logical for a crop that developed in the high deserts of Asia because there weren't a lot of plants to maintain insects. The inflorescence is on the pistachio stigma of the female flower. This is what the female flower looks like if it starts to bloom. This looks like a little pine cone. And the male looks like cement. Basically, we found first in our initial measurements that the stigma of the female flower is about 500 micrometers. The pollen is about 20 micrometers. And this is what generated this whole question. We were out doing our measurements for the previous experiment, and the grower came along with his flail mower, knocking down the winter cover crop here. We try to knock down our winter cover crops before there's any sizable small soft shell nuts on the tree. If you let the crop grow up too high and then you knock it down, the insects fly out of the cover crop and go up and harm your sting your nuts. But anyhow, we saw this happen, and the grower says, "You think that has anything to do with pollination, or that could harm pollination?" And we all had to say, like a true extension agent, "We don't know, but we'll try to find out." So the first thing we did in looking at this was we wanted to find out the size of that dust. Lou found this amphisys system that basically could tell you the volume and the size and amplitude of the pollen and whether or not it was dead or alive. So what we did was we made a pollen and dust mixture and a dust mixture and subjected it to the amphisys system analysis, and basically what we found out was the dust, not surprisingly, was all dead. And the pollen dust mixture, the dust segregated out over here as judged by viability, dead versus alive, and they were approximately the same size. So the first thing we found out was, yes, dust and pollen, or at least the field dust in that field, a Pacheco sandy loam, were approximately the same size. And the next thing we wanted to know was, well, does the dust have any effect on fruit set and nut quality? So we did hand-pollinated experiments on clusters, rachises and clusters in the tree entering pollination. We first go out before they were receptive to pollen and put on the pollen excluding bags. The one thing we did learn was if you're going to put on these pollen excluding bags with these little windows, put the window down, not up, because these trees don't develop leaves till later, and it could produce a heat effect. So we learned something the hard way. Our treatments that we brushed on were basically dust plus pollen in increasing mixtures of and in increasing proportions of dust. Then we called some toxic dust. We took the usual pre-emergent herbicides that we put in our orchard, generally only on the strips where technically the grower should not be flail mowing, but some people maintain clean orchard floors and they would always do it with mowing. Sometimes they do it with an early pre-emergent herbicide also. We did a dust treatment after pollination. We thought the effective pollination period was over. We did a pure pollen and we did a control where we didn't do anything. And on a visual scale, when we did pure pollen and when we did a control or pure pollen, we got results of fruit set that looked like that. And when we did dust, we got results of fruit set that looked like this. When the the nuts remain small like this, they eventually fall off or don't size. But for the more quantitative data here, we did find the dust did influence both fruit set and nut quality. I'm going to draw your eyes down primarily to this pollen dust mixture ranging from 1 part to 16 parts and the 1-to-1 toxin. And basically, what we discovered was that as the percentage of dust increased, the fruit set percentage, except for here, for some reason or other, decreased, and the nut drop increased, the blight rate increased, and the slit rate, interestingly enough, was even affected by some of the nuts that did remain on. So basically, the take home was that, yes, when there was dust out there, it did interfere with both nut set and nut drop. Okay. The last thing we were interested in is, well, what does this actually look like at the stigma level? So we basically examined the stigmas in normal pollination situation and with dust and toxic dust. Up in the top two slides, you see the normal stigma of the stachyle flower. Over on the left, you see it under the control, just prior to pollination, after pollination with all the grains of pollen on it. But when dust was mixed in, or dust with herbicide was mixed in, they effectively lysed the little pollens and destroyed the structure of the stigma. And the papillae cells were what was actually destroyed. And the final thing we wondered was, you know, as you noticed in the, though I went through it rather rapidly, there still was some nut set with dust and even with dust with toxic content in it. So we wondered if dust is playing any role in part of the carpon, because as Lee explained in her presentation, we do have, in a normal year, we will have 10 to 20% blanks in the pistachios. That means a shell that fully grew and the embryo never grew. We don't know if it wasn't fertilized, if that was part of the carpy, if there was, at the period of shell fill, perhaps there were not enough resources within the stored carbohydrates and those produced by the leaves to fill the nuts, and selectively a portion of them are not filled. We don't know much about those dynamics. So we decided to examine the GA content in the flower as a function of parthenocarpy. And about the time we were starting to think about this, we had 1 year where there was whopping blanks. We don't expect to see that percentage of blanks in a year. And you know, it's really hard to tell. The nuts look all fine until you shake them off the tree, and the blanks first tend not to come off as well as the others. And a fair number of blanks make it into the processing plant, which results in lower grade for the grower. So we basically examined the GA contents of three sets of flowers. You see them here. The first blue bar is the pollen, is a pollinized floret successfully pollinized and fertilized. The second is one that had dust supply, and the third was one we protected from dust and pollen. And what we found was in these little individual flowerets that make up a rachis, generally about 114 or 115 of those little florets on a rachis, we expect to see 10 to 15% set. We found on the florets that had been fertilized and the ones that had received dust, the GA levels were insignificantly different, whereas in a floweret that had been protected from both dust and pollen had significantly lower gibberellin. So it's pretty strong evidence that basically the dust, when it does get to the flower, can stimulate set through generation of GA and parthenocarpy because it's not fertilized. So perhaps that's something that's been lending, has been creating some of the blanks we've seen over the years. So what can we tell our growers at this point in time? We can basically tell them if you have an orchard floor that tends to move around when it's sandy, and we do get winds a lot of locations in the valley, you should plant some cover crop. basically you should make sure that you get it mowed down well before pollination, close the pest control, and for this reason. Or perhaps you want to start thinking about planting higher barriers at the edge of the orchard. And whatever you do, don't flail mow during pollination. So I think that's it. Does anybody have any questions?